Hi, you're listening to Kate
and Catherine,
and we're going to show you how to find your Prince Charming so that you can finally live happily ever after, forever and ever.
No.
We are definitely not going to do that.
We are sick of that story, and it's a lie.
It is a lie.
You're listening to The New Truth, a modern woman's guide to extraordinary love.
We are going to show you how the fairy tale love story stops you from experiencing the love you truly desire.
Listen to hear how to break free from sacrifice and struggle in relationship.
And learn the new truth about love in a way that you've never heard it before.
We're so happy you're here. Keep listening.
Hello, hello. Welcome to season two in the New Truth Podcast. We are so, so, so excited to be receiving so much feedback recently. And thank you for taking the time to let us know how you feel. We tend to always hop on our calls together, starting with that of like, what have your clients been saying? Like, oh, I got this message on Instagram. Oh, I got this message on Facebook. There will be a mother wound part two. So thank you for everyone who has connected with us on that. And also just I feel like we are landing in who we are in season two more, just like the integration of our personal selves and our professional selves in season two. Maybe that's what I would say.
I hate the word professional. There's no part of me that's professional.
Well, but I think, I mean, I'll think a different word, but I know for me, I've been so connected to the teacher archetype that I kept the personal really private. And that isn't working for me anymore.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's really, just in our podcast, like it's like the women who listen to our podcast, I feel this every time I get on a Zoom with someone who wants to explore coming to the immersion or working privately with me or whatever. There's this instant connection that we already have before, like right away. It doesn't feel like we're new to each other. There's this already knowing each other's souls. And that's how I feel about the women who listen to our podcast, because they're drawn to this message for a reason. I think it's a bit different with like people that you get through social media or other channels, but the women who listen to the podcast and devote themselves, I'm working with a new magical woman who just came from the podcast, and she only heard of it 3 weeks ago, and she's listened to almost all the episodes.
Whoa.
Isn't that amazing? It's like finally they feel home, because we're all a soul family, really. And we're like, just, we're guiding you back home. We're reminding you of who you are. So yeah, it's our nature to be teachers, but I think that's the beauty of us bringing more of ourselves. And this is our intention for you, is for us to bring more of ourselves into the podcast and share more stories about our lives, because really it's like we're transforming together. I mean, we are just alongside with you too, as we produce episodes every week.
Right. Because we're getting inspiration, not just from our clients, but from our own lives. like that. That's where we're sourcing from on the things that we love talking about. So you have a masterclass going on.
Ah, I do. I mean, I did a commercial last week. So you probably heard of it, but yeah, I feel like it's going to be different. Like as we talk about we are always evolving, and we infuse that into the podcast. We infuse that into everything we do. And I just got back from 2 weeks in Kenya and had the most magical journey of my life. Like one of the most. It just absolutely cracked my heart open beyond what I thought was, I thought I was already very open. It did something to me, and I feel excited to see how, I'm sure there'll be lots of animal metaphors in the podcast, in the masterclass, but the masterclass it's this week. It's happening. It started on Monday, but it's 5 days. You can join anytime. And it's all about getting intimate with your patterns, getting intimate with like all of your false identities and false ways of being that you might think is who you are. You think it's your personality, but actually it's your survival protective patterns. It's your false identity that you created to survive in the world that actually stops you from letting love in. It stops you from experiencing real intimacy. It stops you from making healthy choices in relationships. Like we just interviewed, oh, let's talk about that interview for a second because that's already out. Dr. Nadine. And what a potent, powerful conversation that was. And I mean, the Saboteur Masterclass, it's called the Expanded Love Masterclass, but it's the five saboteur archetypes that I teach. Like that's the fantasy addict, the self-sacrificer, the shapeshifter, like it's pretty much all of them. The isolator, because I'm sure she repressed a ton of her feelings to stay in that toxic relationship. And the controller, trying to control people's perception of you through having this relationship that looks really good on paper, really fancy to the outside world. The reason women get into relationships like that is because their saboteur has the wheel. So if you've experienced toxic relationships or you're just experiencing the same things over and over again, and you're tired of dating, you're tired of relationships, you don't know how to let love in, like come hang out with me for a week, hang out with an amazing group of women. There's almost 700 women, probably over 700 at this point because of the new ones who are joining for the masterclass. Women in this group who've done the masterclass before, and women who've done it before, do it again and do it again. Same as my reclamation community, because there's never ending layers to understanding your saboteur.
It's the best. It's the best. And my favorite is when I've had a lot of people, Kate, recently actually who worked with you years ago, reaching out to me. And what's really cool is they're so well versed in the method that like it creates a whole new consciousness. Yes. Right? It's so powerful. You've made something so accessible for people. So it's not esoteric. And once you get it, like that's the key to being your authentic self, which is the key to how to stay true to yourself in dating, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for reflecting that, because that feels so true. I was just in Kenya with two women who've done my work, been through the immersion. They introduce themselves as their heroine names, and everyone's like, what do you mean you have two names? Like what? And they talked so much, like it's so infused. And one of them did it in 2021, and it's just so infused in their world. And even the community, they call each other by their heroines, to really call each other up to rise into being the women that they were born to be, as opposed to these small, you know, contorted, sacrificing versions of themselves. But when you were talking about that, before we hit record, we were talking about our business visions and where we're headed. And I'm really excited to write a book really soon. And as you were talking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's the book. It's a book because it's accessible. It is. It's so helpful to know your saboteur and then to know your heroine and the repressed parts of you that have been shut down because this other part of you has been in charge for so long. So thanks for reflecting that. I'm excited to get that book out there.
Yes, yes, yes. And everyone's ready for it. Everyone's ready for it.
And then we're going to do a new truth book. That's coming too. Yes.
So many things are coming.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
When we're going to do
Thank
them.
Thank you for all of us.
If you know a ghostwriter, send them our way.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you for hanging in with us. And maybe my God, that's another podcast episode. Actually, I am going to say this for a second. The seed of desire, no matter what it is, right? Writing a book, having a relationship, starting a business, taking a trip. We live in this fucking instant gratification culture right now that we're starting to see people as like slot machines when we go on dates. Like, I want just instant love. I want to get to the wedding. But I think the feminine path, I think a heart-centered path is never losing sight of what the desire is and then trusting the momentum as it comes. Like there's a difference between I'm sabotaging myself, right? Or I'm making excuses for why I don't put forth time and energy towards something. And then there's just letting life open the doors. Like I'll never forget, I wanted to start my business. I hired a coach. I didn't know how I was going to get clients. I made one post on Facebook and I had five clients. And like, I will never forget that moment for the rest of my life, because it wasn't, how do I get clients? Oh my God. Like I just followed my desire. And so many of you, when you're dating, you're so obsessed with the end goal, right? If I want the wedding, I want the relationship, that you don't know how to be with the unfolding of life, which is the path of the heart. The path of the mind is instant gratification. The path of the mind is objectification of other human beings. The path of the mind is the repression of self and being who you think you're supposed to be. And then you wonder why you're not finding love. So how to stay true to yourself with dating actually first begins with letting go of the attachment to the timeline, right? And learning how to be, I mean, intimacy is with life. Like, we're always actually all practicing intimacy, which is being with what is, right? How are you with yourself after a date? Do you then spend the entire evening obsessing over what was said, what was done, whether or not the person's going to call you again, or anchored in how you actually were showing up, right? Growth-based dating is paying attention to how you're behaving over the dating process. And why women lose themselves and stop being true to themselves is because of agenda, because of fear, because they don't even know who they are in the first place. So they're behaving how they think they're supposed to be. So of course you've lost yourself because you don't have yourself. And because of patriarchy, which says your only value is in whether or not you have a relationship. So all you care about is getting the relationship rather than the kind of relationship you're creating with someone.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All of those things. Yeah, the path of the heart and also the path of the head is the performative life, which most people are performing. Like, do I look perfect enough based on what society tells me that is beautiful? Is my life good enough? Is my house big enough? Have I checked all the boxes? Do I have a relationship? Do I have a ring on my finger? Like, there are so many scripts that we're playing out all day long that we don't even know we're playing out. And we think they're our own desires. So even that word desire, you know, so many women I work with think they have all these desires. And then once we peel back all of the false layers of who they thought they were, that they're actually not. And we uncover the raw, like, material underneath and who they really are. And they start to emerge, like, their desires change because they're true desires, which are internal, right? It's like the feeling of a true desire is you feel a spark. Like, let's say you see, you know, a show that's like, move to Italy for 6 weeks. I'm talking to myself right now and learn how to speak Italian or learn how to speak Italian while you're writing a book. Like, okay, maybe I'll do that. But like, let's say you saw an ad for that and then you didn't think a thought. There was never a thought in your mind to do that thing because it wasn't coming from your conditioned self. That's what the saboteur is, your conditioned self, right? You're who you've been told to be. And you think it's you. You think it's you. But then all of a sudden you feel a spark and you're like, whoa, this is so weird. I've never been to Italy. I've never desired to speak. Like, why am I feeling this spark? That's how I felt about Kenya when Mariana called me and said, yo, we're going to Kenya. And I was like, what? Kenya? It wasn't remotely on my radar. But as soon as she said, we're going to Kenya, something opened in my heart. And I was like, cool, we're going there. I know we're going there because I can feel it in my body. And my mind is like, what is, like, how do I get to Kenya? What does that look like? What is that going to be like? And it was so magical. My soul felt like I was home when I was there. There was such a resonance. My heart felt so open. Kenyan people, oh my God, I love Kenyan people so much. There's such a beauty and a presence and a heart openness to all of the people who I met, young, old, everything in between. The culture, everything. I just absolutely had the most amazing time because it was a soul desire. So that's how you know the difference between the heart and the soul. And okay, coming back to the title of the podcast, how to stay true to yourself. Like you said, if you don't have yourself, if you don't belong to yourself fully, then you will lose yourself when you're dating and when you get into relationships, like Nadine did in the Wolf on Wall Street story, right? Like, that's what happens. It is a setup. If any of the saboteur archetypes are at play, right? If your inner child that's wounded and your saboteur is in charge, you absolutely will end up in a saboteur dynamic. And you will contort yourself and you will shapeshift, or you will control, or you'll be the mom, or you'll be the fantasy addict who's dreaming of the wedding, even though you actually are not happy in the relationship. whatever, like that's what's going to play out if you are not anchored in yourself. So how do you get anchored in yourself? I mean, there's a journey, there's a couple of journeys to go on, but it's also a lifelong practice. Like you don't just come work with Catherine and I, and then all of a sudden you're anchored forever. If you are not devoting yourself every day to plugging into yourself, to knowing yourself, to listening to yourself, to knowing the difference between the stories in your mind and the feelings in your body, to honoring yourself, to caring for yourself, to celebrating yourself, like all of the things that we talk about all the time on the podcast, our practice, there's so many practices that you can do to be plugged into yourself, following your desires, living from desire, honoring your feelings, learning how to feel your feelings without feeding the story about the feelings. And so, but when it comes to actually dating, I would say have practices. I used to have on my old website, the beginning of my business, when I marketed myself more as a dating coach, I had that dating guide. I don't even know where it is now, but I used to have this dating guide, and it was like practices to do before a date, during a date, and after a date to anchor into yourself. So
that's the thing we need to create together then.
For sure. We're going to create a new truth version. We're going to upgrade it. It's going to be better than the one I created when I was a baby. But I have a new client who just sent me a Voxer a couple of days ago. She was going on a date and she was like, okay, so I'm really plugged into myself. And it was so cute. She said all the things that she was doing. And she's like, beautiful. And I'm practicing non-attachment. And then she went on the date, came back. Her next message was like, wow, I feel totally unattached. And I'm like, great. But the date was great. And I'm like, great. You should always feel unattached, right? And if you don't feel it, it's like you need to know how to tend to that younger part of you that feels attached so that you can feel the feelings and move through them, but not obsess and stay stuck in the story. Because may you never be attached to another person. Non-attachment is like, I love you. I care about you. We are in relationship, but I don't need to attached to you in order to stay friends with you. And right. And so that these are just the anxious patterns that arise. And so learning how to be in relationship with those parts, if they show up after a date, but before the date, plugging into yourself is essential. So you feel grounded and anchored, and you can share practices. I'll just share the overview and then you talk about what you would do. So the practices before, during the date, do some somatic experiencing. So while you're on the date, notice where your thoughts are. Are you in fantasy? Are you projecting a future onto this person? This is a stranger. Are you imagining them, like you said, playing some role in your life? Are you, what's the word you use?
Objectification.
Are you objectifying them? Exactly. Women do it with marriage and relationships and rushing all that stuff. Men do it with sex. Women do it with sex too. Like, are you objectifying this person or are you actually in your body? So doing embodiment practices before is helpful. Feeling your feet, noticing your breath, feeling your body, noticing them, being curious, but not making up stories about this person you don't know. So it's like keeping yourself in check in the moment, in the experience. And then after, I would say best thing to do after a date is let your saboteur vent first. Whatever story she has to tell, let her tell the story, like fantasy story, or he's a loser, or whatever the story is, or like I sucked on that date, whatever the story is. Identify how you feel underneath it and then feel your feelings, and then do a celebration after. What are you celebrating? What are you noticing that showed up for you on the date? And look at it like you're a detective and you're just like noticing like, how am I dating? How am I showing up on these dates? So you're not attaching it to the person, but you're observing your behavior. Okay, your turn.
Well, I, as you're talking about all these epic things, I'm thinking about how women are conditioned to always externally source, like externally source their worth, externally source their security, externally source their self-esteem.
Their money.
And I remember my first... Well, I've had a lot of therapists, but my first inner child therapist, the one that I worked with that like actually really transformed my life, one of the first things she says to me was, you're like a leaf blowing in the wind, right? That you go wherever the wind blows, whatever somebody's mood is, that's where you go, right? Whatever life circumstance is happening, that's where you go. Like there's no, like we keep saying, you have to be anchored in yourself. And so many women are leaves.
Yes.
So many women are living in reaction. And that's the princess. That's the maiden. The maiden is just, what, where's the wind blowing today? Like, what mood is this person in? Like, oh, I just have to make this work with this guy. Rather than being anchored in yourself and staying true to yourself is being honest with yourself. You know, I'm moving away from this, like, have a healthy relationship, right? Because that even is still creating conscious, like idealized relationship. But honest relationship is the thing that everyone is meant to look for. And that's what being true to yourself means, being honest with yourself. That after a date, you say to yourself, how did I treat this person and how did they treat me? What was I actually feeling? Am I getting, you know, I've been working with some clients lately talking about the difference between a dopamine hit, like feeding their maiden and their princess, like, oh, he was really hot, like it was really fun.
He paid the bill.
Right. But, but he didn't ask me any questions about myself.
Yes.
He was really arrogant when he talked about himself. Like, we didn't really have anything in common. And so everyone has to, like, radical honesty with self is that. Radical honesty means, wow, I really actually felt in my child self the whole time with this person, right? Or, wow, I definitely wasn't honest about XYZ, right? When he asked me if I liked a movie, I said that I did when I actually don't. Or I pretended to be cool and say that, oh, I'm not looking for a relationship, but actually I am, right? Or I went home with him, even though I didn't actually want to, right? Being true, staying true to yourself in dating means you are practicing radical honesty with yourself, which also means, should I be dating right now? Or maybe I'm recovering from a breakup, or maybe I need to take a break and have and do more inner work so that I can emerge dating from a place of confidence and self-love and anchored in myself. Or saying, you know, honest with yourself might mean, am I clear on what I want, right? Or am I muddled with what I think I should want or what other people want for me? And how many women put their own life on hold? And then date, it's like, oh, I'll go on that trip after I have a boyfriend, right? Or I'll start that project after I have a boyfriend, rather than being like the practice, like those practices you shared were beautiful. And then the like zooming out is looking at the environment of your life. Are you eating well? Are you getting enough sleep? If you work from home, are you ever fucking leaving the house? Like, I had a client a couple months ago where when we're talking about her life, she wasn't connected with anyone. And she's like, I feel really anxious and depressed. And I'm like, of course you feel anxious and depressed. Like, you're not leaving the house. Right. And so there's the practices that you do, but then also what are you plugged into around your community? Like, how solid are your girlfriends? How are your girlfriends talking about dating? What quality of relationships are your girlfriends in? Do you have a spiritual practice? Like, that's the thing I would maybe add to of like bringing to your journal prayer that's like, help me be I mean, I wrote dating prayers actually many years ago, and one of them was, help me be present to this day and this day only. Help me see the gift of this person and the gift that I am to this person too, right? Remember, help me remember my brilliance regardless of what this person thinks of me. Help me see the brilliance in this person regardless of whether or not they're a match for me.
Yes.
Right? Because objectification of men is that you look at men by based on what they can offer you, right? Are you boyfriend material or not? Rather than seeing them, they're a human being too. They're probably insecure and afraid of rejection and have baggage and have wounds and have triggers just like you. So radical honesty in dating is also saying the thing that you're feeling. Right. That's what I love when you talk about the unfolding with you and Patricio in the beginning. Like, you just were real with what you were thinking and feeling. Right. There was no game. Right. Everyone's like, oh, what's the right thing to say? I can't say that because I might scare them away. Da, 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 da. Like, those little micro moments are actually how we lose ourselves in dating. It doesn't just happen in one sweep. It's actually micro moments of lying to yourself and to the other person and running around. If you like are working all day, then you just rush off to the date. how could you have that kind of expectation of yourself to then be in your heart when you haven't taken any time to ground yourself, right? So I love the ritual of actually changing your clothes. Like that's a transition, right? Like I'm taking off what I wore in work mode, right? All day. And not I'm putting clothes on for a date because this is what I think I'm supposed to look like for a date or the colors that are right. But also what's the thing that I feel beautiful and comfortable in, because clothes are an expression of who you are. Like that's the gift of clothing. Now go listen to our, what do we do? The honeymoon exists when we riff on trends. A lot yes. of people have commented about that too.
Oh, they have?
Yeah, making fun of me from, they all have messaged like Kate roasting bottle? You at the beginning about your Stanley water bottle. But that, like that too, it's like people, if you're doing what's trending, that's not honest with yourself.
Yes.
Like being true to yourself is being honest with yourself. Look for an honest relationship.
I have to confess, I did get a fanny pack, but it's not Lululemon. And I brought it to Kenya and I wear it like how we did in the 80s. I was in the 80s alive wearing fanny packs. So I wore it around my waist in Kenya on safaris and stuff. And it was incredibly fucking helpful. So they are amazing. But it's like, where are we making our choices from? And, mm-hmm. you know, as you're talking about all these different ways of being that women are on dates and like the lying and the shape shifting and the pretending and like, these are all the saboteur archetypes, every single one of which is manipulative. So you're self-sacrificing, you are manipulating, you are contorting yourself, you are pretending to be someone else, you are manipulating, you are in fantasy projecting an idea of who someone is or your life with them, you are manipulating, you're pretending to be perfect, whatever it is, it's a form of manipulation. This is what the saboteur does. That word might sound harsh, but it's important because this is what the saboteur does in order to quote unquote get love, get approval, get belonging, get worthiness, get. But the reality is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It creates the actual opposite. Right. So if I go on a date and I'm shape-shifting and being who I think you want me to be so that you are attracted to me, you choose me, you like me, you want to be with me, you want a second date, then I'm actually lying about who I am to get something from you. So even if you fall madly in love with me, will I ever feel loved by you?
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
I'll never feel loved because I actually wasn't being myself. Right. If I'm sacrificing, I'll feel bitter and resentful that I'm doing everything and like, okay, I got into a relationship with you, but now I'm doing everything and you're doing nothing. And I'm deeply resentful and feel totally alone and unsupported. Like all of the saboteur patterns in relationship are a setup. They are a setup. Join me in the masterclass all week, 75 minutes every single day. I go live inside of this private Facebook community where you will learn intimately about each of these archetypes because we all have them playing out. And if you ever feel like you lose yourself in love, this is why. It's because it's not you being present in the moment. Who are you really? You are infinite. You are like, we always want to put labels on ourselves and be like, who am I? I am this, I am that. But like, actually you're infinite. We all are. We all are infinite. We have infinite capacity to feel every emotion on the spectrum, to embody and become really whatever we desire. Like we are infinite and we're nothing. We're like everything and nothing, right? The present moment is just neutral. I'm just in my body. I mean, I learned so much about presence from observing animals, trying to find a lion. It took us a really long time, but I found my lion. but presence is, and even just being around these beautiful souls from Kenya, they're like already meditating. Mariana talked about that story. I got to meet the guy who she, if you listen to the episode with Mariana, she talks about how she's explaining what she does on retreat to one of the guys that works at Olapangi Farms where we do the retreat. And he was like, she said, oh, meditating, you know, to like help you calm your busy, worried mind. And he goes, what do you mean? And he couldn't understand it. And he kept asking more questions. And then finally he's like, wait, I think I'm already meditating. And like, he's just present. Right? Connected to the earth, connected to the animals, connected to his body, in his body. And when I connected with this man and every other Kenyan that I met, They were so present. There was something different about them. They were endlessly curious and they were so present. This is who you are.
Yes.
So bring that version of yourself on dates. Don't worry about knowing like what your gifts are, what your soul purpose is, what you're like, who you're, the woman you're born to be in the world. Like that unfolds organically. The life that is meant for you, the more authentic you get, the more real you get, the more you get honest with yourself, like you said, who you are and who you're meant to be keeps emerging, keeps emerging, keeps emerging. You don't have to figure that out. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is learn to be present, right? Do some meditation, do some breath work, do some embodiment practices where you learn how to be more still inside of yourself. You learn how to get out of your head into your body so you can just be with whoever's in front of you. I love what you said. You know, it's the same concept as the dates, like of relate how we discount relationships when they end. It's like, oh, that, you know, that didn't count. Okay, on to the next. Oh, that marriage didn't work, next. And everyone discounts relationships. We do the same thing with dates. Yeah. When I dated, my little stint of dating in Athens when I first got here, like I really treasure all of those dates, even the funny ones that were awkward and didn't go well. I treasured those experiences and I learned something about myself and I learned something about the Greek culture and I learned something about these people. And there was this openness to it. Like every date, every person, dating is connecting. We've said that before. Every person who sits in front of you, there's a reason, right? Life is divine. You're not sitting in front of someone who's totally out of alignment for you for no reason. There's something there for you. So get curious about it. Get curious about who they are. What happens inside of you when you're sitting in front of this person, and let dating be a vehicle to learn more about yourself and to learn where your saboteur patterns kick up, what kind of people they kick up around, right? Like narcissists are really great at kicking up shape-shifting fantasy addict self-sacrificers, because anyone who has a trauma that's connected to that is going to instantly be like, okay, I need to perform. Who do I need to be in front of this guy? He's really good looking. He's got money. Oh, he seems like he has it all. Now I have to prove that I'm worthy and good enough, right? If you're ever feeling like you're proving who you are on a date in order to get someone to like you, it's not going to go well. Run like hell. Read the book. It's not going to go well. Watch The Tinder Swindler. We have an episode about that too. It's like, don't let your mind date. Your mind's very confused and has been brainwashed about a lot of things that lead us in a lot of directions that are in opposing to what our hearts actually desire.
And the final thing is just how much of a practice this is.
It's a practice.
Right? Like totally. There is that, we're not also saying you have to be perfectly healed in order to date, but radical honesty looks like, wow, am I doing the same thing over and over and over again? Right? Yeah. Like, am I ignoring the deeper healing work that actually is being asked of me because I'm so afraid I'm going to miss out on my person, right? Like if people are always like, where do I meet great men? Well, do you even know what you're going to do if you met a great one? Right? Like you don't need to know where to meet them. You need to know how to be in your life, true to yourself, lit up in the love that you are, emotionally available because you have a good relationship with your own feelings, which is what emotional availability actually is. And you know how to communicate honestly without being a people pleaser, without being a performer, without being perfectionistic. And that is what the depth work offers. Right. It's not just little tips and tricks of skills about dating, like working with us, like our programs, our work is committed to the depth so that you are transformed in every single area of your life. So that the true you shows up with your friends at work and on dates. So don't tell me I'm honest in all my relationships except my dates. No, sorry. Sorry, hon. No. Don't tell me you all of a sudden become a different person when dating. Right? We take ourselves with us wherever we go and whatever relationships we're in. So the good news, when you have non-attachment with dates, you can actually practice being honest before the attachment forms. Like people are always like, well, when's the right time to like bring up things that are important to you? And I'm like, before an attachment forms, right? Before you're now hooked into wanting to make the relationship work, that then you actually stop being honest. That's why it's be vulnerable and true out of the gate, be honest and clear out of the gate, and trust that the people who want what you want will meet you in that space. The people who are vulnerable and mature will meet you in that space, rather than how much time and energy you're probably spending trying to get people to show up for you, to want what you want, to be honest with you too, right? You're the leader. You're the main character of your life, right? Like, you lead by modeling the kind of relationship behavior you want to call in rather than waiting for someone else to do it for you.
Yes. And be honest everywhere. Guarantee there's a shit ton of places in your life where you're lying to yourself, staying in jobs you don't want to be in, eating food that doesn't actually feel good to your body, doing things that doesn't feel aligned, being around people that you don't feel like. Start to clean up and be honest everywhere, because it will, like you said, wherever you go, there you are. So if you clean up all your relationships when you're in your heroin, you do not change who you are in different circumstances. You don't go to work, circling back to the beginning of this episode and professionalism, our professional lives or whatever that word, it's like, you don't, you're not like, oh, now I'm my professional self. Now I'm my romantic dating self. Now I'm my, you know, girlfriend self. You're the same everywhere you go when you are in alignment with you. The last thing I'll say is, it's like being, if you aren't satiated in yourself and your life, this is being anchored. Like, if you're not already full, you're not already like it, your life isn't satisfying you, and you show up on dates. That is like you, I think you've said this before. It's like going grocery shopping, being really hungry, right? You're going to buy all the wrong foods. You're going to binge it. You're not going to take care. You're not going to cook. You're not going to nourish yourself properly because you're hungry when you're grocery shopping. So when you go on dates, already be full, yes. Already be full, satiated, filled up, so that you're not looking to get anything from this person. Then you can be present. Okay.
Amen.
If you enjoyed this episode, amen. Send it to your sisters. Share it with everyone you know. Join us in the new truth. Tell us how you're feeling about season 2. We love hearing from you, and we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Kate. Thanks so much for listening to the New Truth podcast. For more of Catherine and I, come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group. We are in there. That's where we're sharing all about our programs and our free workshops that we do. You can come join us there and ask as many questions as you want about the podcast episodes, about dating, relationships, any struggles you're having out there. We would love to support you. So come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, and we will see you soon.